Welcome to the Maria Heller Show, the Internet's original podcast. Since the year 2000, always ahead of the curve, always on your side. A true warrior for truth and justice, Maria and her guests leave nothing out, and no one is off limits. There is only one truth, the rest is lies. Sit back, enjoy the education with a true daughter of Mother Earth. Sharp New York wit, spiritual knowing, and a very dry sense of humor, Maria will dissect the news and lies to make it all palatable. Education is power. Maria delivers rapid-fire truth like no one else can. Here she is, the mouth that roars, the legendary Maria Heller.
Good morning, world. Maria here, alive and kicking. Welcome to Roaring Truth with my roaring co-host, the lion himself, Jim Fetzer. Good morning, Jim.
Oh, Maria, it's great to be here with you again. I'm delighted.
Oh, I got to tell you, Jim, I'm watching on social media you getting your ass torn out by so many people. And I'm like, oh, my God, whenever Jim starts talking about the truth, and, you know, you hit the two issues that seem to piss people off the most, and I saw the attacks on you, and I've judged it myself on Facebook, two issues that really make people go insane, which I still haven't figured out the first one, which is if I posted something about the sixth mass extinction, I got a lot of shit for that. And the other one, of course, is the abortion debate. And because you and I did such a great show a while back on abortion, you know, you're like the most sensible man I've ever talked to, knowledgeable man about abortion in my entire life. But I'm looking at the flack you're getting on the sixth mass extinction and Fukushima and abortion. And I have to tell you, I don't mean to, Jim, but I giggle away because I said, well, at least it's not just me getting my head handed to me.
Well, I don't mind attacks. I really don't. I'm just astonished at how ill-founded so many of them are. They commit elementary fallacies. They ignore my points. They distort my position. It's rather embarrassing. This abortion debate thing has been rather fascinating, however, because it pitted a Muslim and a Catholic against an agnostic, namely me. And yet I have been carrying the banner for the pro-choice position by explaining why it's the only rational, it's the only moral position, and the alternatives are undemocratic and un-American.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're not going to get any argument out of me on that. I mean, you know, I have to tell you, there's only one topic that I think, maybe two, that get me to where when I have to respond to the post, the anger inside my body is so intense that my hand shakes violently on the keyboard. So I try to stay out of those things because it's like an automatic reaction. But what I did to decide to put an end to all this pro-abortion, pro-birth, blah, 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 I went and I posted Genesis chapter 2. From many different Bibles onto my business Facebook page. And not a one comment came back. Not a one. Because if you want to go Bible to Bible with an ex-Jehovah's Witness, I say let's go for it. Okay. I mean, I know the Jim, I know the scripture by heart, okay? Because, you know, when I was a kid reading the Bible, I questioned every sentence of it, okay? And I mean, we basically had to memorize it. And it's a very simple scripture. It says, basically, God made man out of the dirt of the ground and formed his body. And then he blew the breath of life into Adam, and Adam became a living soul. You can't argue that, no matter how you want to argue it. Until that dead body was breathing on its own, God didn't feel it was a living soul. No matter how many thousands of people saw that and liked it, not a one comment back.
Nice.
So if you're going to believe in the Bible, then at least don't cherry pick what you want to believe. Okay. The Bible also says thou shalt not kill, but these are the same people that are for the death penalty, for war, and, you know, killing doctors at Planned Parenthood. They seem to justify that somehow in their minds. But, you know, the same book of Genesis, by the way, also tells you the same thing for animals, and that animals were living souls. So when people say, oh, I can eat meat because animals don't have souls, well, they're not following their religion, because the Bible clearly says they do.
Nice points, Maria. Anyone who wants to see this latest debate, which was organized by Kevin Barrett, who is the Muslim, they can find it on YouTube and at his Truth Jihad website. But the title will probably be the key: Abortion Debate, a Muslim, a Catholic, and an Agnostic. That'll get to it several places.
Right. Almost, when I saw the headline, it almost looked like one of those jokes, you know, a Muslim, a Catholic, and a humanist walking through a bar.
Yeah.
But, I mean, the ignorance, and, you know, you've explained it so well from a scientific, factual point, but when people want to get all up in arms because of their belief system that they don't even understand, obviously they've never read not even the first two books of the Bible, I mean, you know, it gets so annoying to me as a woman, as a mother, as a grandmother. And it's like, God, are we going to have to fight the same battles all over again we fought 60 years ago?
Yes, I know. It's embarrassing. And even, you know, in this day and age, I mean, when you have a Kentucky clerk who refuses to do her job, violates her obligations in her role as a clerk, as a public official, on the grounds of her personal religious beliefs, and you have four or five presidential candidates applauding her, you know we're in a diminished state of understanding of the Constitution, the law, and the principles on which this country was founded.
Absolutely. Well, I read this morning the judge let her go. But what I saw yesterday, which was a really interesting twist, is a Muslim woman who's a airline attendant refused to serve somebody alcohol because it was against her religion. Well, where's Huckabee and Rubio and Rand on that issue?
Well, and of course it's loopy. I mean, somebody, if being a stewardess involves serving cocktails to passengers, then if you don't want to serve cocktails to passengers, don't become a stewardess. If being a clerk in a court involves issuing wedding licenses to everyone who is legally entitled, but you don't want to issue wedding license to everyone who's legally entitled, then don't be a clerk. She would have been far better off simply resigning. That would have been an honorable thing to do.
But she wanted to, she wanted to martyr herself so they can still claim Christian persecution.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I mean,
Huckabee and Rand Paul and Scott Walker and Bobby Jindal were all applauding her.
Right.
I mean, this is pathetic. I mean, Maria, Rand Paul has fallen so far so fast in my estimation, I can hardly believe it. When he came out against the Iran nuclear agreement, I knew he wasn't the man I had thought him to be, because his whole history has been rooted in non-intervention. The Iran deal is based on, if you understand the facts, Iran has no nuclear weapons program at all. To all 16 U.S. agencies reached that conclusion in 2007. They reaffirmed it in 2011. Even the Mossad reported to the Israeli government in 2012 Iran was not pursuing a nuclear weapons program. So what are these senators doing opposing it? Are they so massively ignorant of our own intelligence findings?
Well, you know what the reason is. They're all Zionists getting paid off by AIPAC on behalf of Israel. But nobody's talking about Israel's nukes. Nobody's talking about the new wall Israel wants to build to keep the refugees out. Nobody talks about the fact that Israel hasn't had one single terrorist attack since, you know, we were hit on 9/11. You know, nobody questions how the elephant in the Middle East seems to just skate on by.
It's unbelievable. There was even an article, clearly disinformation, probably saying that the senators who were supporting the Iran deal were being paid off by Iran. I can't imagine anything as stupid as that.
Well, I do know that a lot of diplomats in Iran had written to Congress encouraging them to pass that agreement, which I think is great. And Obama's got it locked. I mean, he's got 41 votes, so it's nothing the Republicans can do about it. Unless, of course, Israel decides to come up with a new 9/11 this week.
Which is not beyond the realm of possibility. And where it was most interesting to watch Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who's a representative from Florida, who's both Jewish but also the head of the Democratic National Committee, explain how she went through tortuous briefings, highly classified briefings about all the details of this, and she was convinced not only is Iran not doing self-inspection, but that it's the right deal, and she supports it, which was difficult for her, but she came out on the right side.
Mm-hmm. Well, listen, you know, I got to tell you, as a kid that grew up, you know, in Brooklyn, you know, playing in the schoolyard, I know that, you know, if somebody else had a slingshot, you needed to have a slingshot, too. You're going to get your ass kicked. And when you look at Iran and the fact that Israel, which nobody wants to talk about, has over 200 nukes, probably more than twice that much, according to Mordecai Vanunu, who I've interviewed twice.
Yeah.
How dare they say, I can have this, but you can't.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, the Pentagon quietly released a report this past February, which was prepared by the Defense Intelligence Agency back in 1987, showing that Israel already had nuclear weapons and, in fact, had the capacity to build the hydrogen bomb. That was in the 1980s. So, you know, if there were greater, more terrifying weapons, they would have the technology today.
Absolutely. Well, you know, for you especially, we can track, you know, Israel's desire for nuclear powers to the assassination of Kennedy. Kennedy didn't want Israel to have that, and Johnson was all too happy to give them whatever they wanted.
That's absolutely right. That's one of the policy issues that was desired by the sponsors of the assassination, which included the CIA, the Joint Chiefs, the anti-Castro Cubans. Really, they wanted retaliation for their belief that JFK had betrayed them at the Bay of Pigs when it was some of his key advisors, not the man himself. The Eastern establishment surrounding the Fed, which Jack was bypassing by having the Department of Treasury print hundreds of millions of United States notes on the ground that it was absurd for the government of the U.S. to be paying interest to a consortium of private banks for publishing the currency of the United States. The Texas oilmen, who, of course, were fearful he was going to cut the oil depletion allowance. And Israel, because he was at loggerheads with David Ben-Gurion, the first prime minister and the founder of Israel, who wanted Israel to have nukes, which JFK opposed.
Right.
And, you know, across the board, Maria, on every single one of those policy issues, Johnson reversed JFK's position.
And allowed Israel to kill our sailors on the USS Liberty with no response.
That is so shocking, because it was clear Johnson was complicit in that. He even personally directed calling back the American fighter aircraft that had been sent to come to the defense of the Liberty. He called them back.
Right. So he was a traitor and a sellout, besides a disgusting human being on every level.
Of course, he was the principal facilitator of the assassination of his predecessor.
Right.
Where his close friend J. Edgar Hoover was in charge of the cover-up. So, I mean, between them, both of them despised the Kennedys. They made a very devastating, evil duo.
Right. Well, do you remember back in the day, and that's my new hashtag. Feel free to use it, Jam. I do hashtag We Remember. Because I am convinced the reason they want to kill off all the seniors in this country, starve them, let them eat cat food, and slaughter our Social Security is because we've lived through these events and we remember the truth. And we're a danger. We are a danger to what they're teaching kids in school, eliminating real history. So the sooner people like you and I are dead, the happier they'll be.
Yes.
Yeah, because but we remember, we were there. We were on the ground. We were there. We lived through it. They can't twist that away from us.
We aren't merely creatures of conditioning and propaganda, which the Congress has even legitimized by the nullification of the Smith-Mundt Act of 1949 and the National Defense Appropriations Act of 2013, the same techniques of disinformation and propaganda can now be used in the United States that have heretofore only been used in foreign nations.
Mm-hmm. Well, I did want to mention, since we're talking about Israel and the evil that they are, Joe Biden, people are begging him, run, Joe, run, run, Joe, run. But Joe Biden is a self-admitted Zionist. We would have a Zionist president. What else needs to be said?
I know. I mean, obviously Johnson was a Zionist. George H.W. Bush seems to have been more moderate in that respect. He got us in, a bad fix in the Middle East, which W made overwhelmingly worse. Mm-hmm. I mean, in certain respects, his father was a moderate president, whereas W was a complete nitwit and utterly incompetent and let Cheney do it. He was, where Cheney is perhaps the most evil president to ever occupy a high office in the United States, was running the government.
Right, Darth Cheney. But I did want to ask you this, because I don't think that I'm alone in this. I don't think that I have ever seen a worse crop of people put before us looking for the presidential nominee, nor anything as ugly as the reality show that these idiots are showing the whole world in my whole life. And I mean, the first president I remember was Eisenhower. Have you ever seen a motley crew like this, how embarrassing, ignorant they are?
Yes. Well, I remember Harry Truman. I was a few years ahead of you, and Eisenhower, and JFK, of course, and everyone since. But it's been all downhill since the 22nd of November, 1963.
Well, you know, when they killed John, and then they killed Bobby... You know, people always had that impression. Two things that I wanted to bring up that I don't think are being talked about enough. Number one, they didn't want Kennedy to be president because they were afraid, because he was a Catholic, he'd push his religion on us. But look at what we've got today. And the second thing is they were afraid of a Kennedy dynasty. Well, I'd have rather had a Kennedy dynasty than a Bush dynasty.
Oh, yes, it would have made a world of difference, no question about it whatsoever. That was one of their fears, of course, that JFK would serve two terms, and then Bobby would serve two terms, and then Teddy would serve two more, which would have been wonderful for the country, but bad for the special interests, the fat cats and the bankers and the warmongers.
Right. So do you agree that Chappaquiddick was a setup?
I do think Chappaquiddick was a setup. It's not even clear to me whether Teddy was aware she was in the back seat. I don't think he handled it terribly well. But, I think he was set up to assassinate his character, which worked perfectly well. He was a very good senator as a consequence, but never, of course, ran for president.
Well, I'm sure they held that over him forever.
Or am I wrong? Did Teddy actually make an effort one time and it went nowhere?
No, I don't think so. I don't think he ever did. I don't remember that. I mean, he did serve until he died.
And when you take into account that in addition to taking out JFK and Bobby, we also lost Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and you see really the decapitation of the left wing of the nation. I mean, the leadership of the liberal progressive party was simply done in a relatively brief period of time.
Well, don't you find it odd that we were in a 14-year war and there's no real anti-war movement out there?
I think that's because Nixon abolishing the draft to relieve pressure on him actually left a situation where most families simply no longer felt a stake in decisions of war and peace, because their own children weren't going to be called upon to serve and risk the loss of life or limb. Their attitude has been, let someone else do it. Mm-hmm. And because there haven't been enough of those other people to do it, this has led to the proliferation of private armies like Blackwater and Kraft International. It's been very, very damaging to this country, Maria. I think, as odd as it sounds, that the loss of the draft was a huge blow to the integrity of the nation.
Well, I have to agree. I think if the draft was in place, we'd have an anti-war movement like we did in the 60s. But, you know, I look at, you know, it just seems like, you know, that expression, you know, people that don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it. Yeah. And yet we look at more religious fanatics, crazy people, like I started the show out, that never read their Bible. You know, they just cherry pick whatever they want for their own reasons, who were afraid of a Catholic president. Now I'm hearing the same crap. Oh, we don't want Bernie Sanders. He's a Jew as a president. But look at the dominionism, the evangelicals that are running. They're one crazier than the next.
Yes, yes, I completely agree. This, of course, is a reason why I began my debate over abortion by explaining how in matters of public policy, we have to exclude views that are rooted in religion and theology, because if you allow them, then you'll never arrive at any reasonable resolution. Everyone will just stand pat with their religious beliefs, which are incapable of being shown to be false, which is why I, as an agnostic, acknowledge that since we cannot prove the existence of God nor the non-existence of God, we must suspend belief. And certainly religion has no role to play, no proper role to play in the formation of public policy, which is what the stewardess and the clerk seem to have ignored as well.
Well, you know, a lot of people are posting some really cute posts on social media. One of them was a Quaker working at the Department of Motor Vehicles, and says, "I refuse to give you a license for your devil machine." Just to show the ridiculousness of this. This is like the American Taliban. Now, here we have an entire section of the world running away from a horrible war zone that we have created with our allies. And no, here in America, people are worried about some clerk in Kentucky defending her ridiculous religious beliefs, even though she's been married four times and had children that she tried to pass off to another husband as his, which it wasn't. So you know what? You're either going to be holy or you're not. And if you're not, then shut your mouth. That's my thought. Okay? The last holy man in Christianity ended up with holes in his hands and couldn't eat M&Ms anymore. So, yeah. You know, if these people actually emulated what any of their religions teach, we would have had peace on earth a long time ago.
Well, it's really astounding to me how unchristian can be Christians and, you know, I mean, run down the line. Bernie Sanders is such a good and decent man. I mean, unless you believe all Jews are evil, which is obviously false.
Right.
Why not Bernie Sanders? He certainly is more reasonable than virtually any other candidate out there.
Absolutely. Listen, I got to tell you, first of all, from what I understand, he's not a practicing Jew. Not that that matters to me. But I have to tell you, coming from Brooklyn and having grown up with Jews, okay, Jews and Italians have so many similarities. And I mean more than just our noses, Jim. We have so many cultural similarities. And the first thing I thought was, I said, oh, my God, a Jew from Brooklyn. Who better than that to be president? That was my first thought. I know how smart they are. I know how real they are. I know how good they are with money. I know how they feel about equal rights for people. I'm not talking about the crazy, you know, Sephardic Jews, or, you know, the ones that really take it to the, you know, the ones that don't shower, you know, except once a week, where you don't even want to be on the subway with them. I'm talking about your average New York Jew. You can't get a smarter mind than that, okay? And I'm sure he's not the type of man that's going to have us hitting our knees and praying, you know, to the Talmud once he's president.
Yeah.
So to me, you know, the best pick of the lot, you know, a rich millionaire who can't get a decent hairpiece, or a smart Jew from Brooklyn. To me, it's a no-brainer.
Well, I love what Trump is doing to shake things up. I mean, to me, he's a godsend because he's at least speaking candidly about the corruption of our system and buying and selling politicians, and why he's a great candidate because he can't be bought.
Well, and the other thing is, he really has exposed the new Republican Party for what they really are. Racist, ignorant people.
Yes.
So he's doing, you know, he's doing somebody a big favor. I don't know about Hillary, because Bernie just took a 9-point lead in the polls. So it's an interesting race if I ignore all the rest of them. I'm sure you saw that comment by Ben Carson. You know, and I have to tell you, He really bothers me, okay? I see him as an Uncle Tom. I can't believe anybody would even go to him as a neurosurgeon. The ignorance that's come out of his mouth, especially about women's rights, he says, we don't want to control women. We just want to control the insides of their body.
Isn't that disgusting?
And that's a doctor, and I was like, is my ovary and uterus having a separate life that I don't know about?
Maria, that's just as disgusting as it gets. I mean, he struck me as no rocket scientist and kind of crude, but that really hits the bottom.
I know. I was like, is my uterus and my organs, are they having a separate life that I don't know about? You know, can we separate the inside of a woman from the outside of a woman? That's like saying I'm coming after your prostate.
It's a bizarre remark.
And, you know, he benefited from a lot of social welfare programs in this country, and now he's against all of it, like all the other hypocrites. You know, and it's funny because I walked into my doctor's office and he had a little booklet standing up about, you know, for Ben Carson on the counter. I immediately put it face down on the counter. And then my doctor made the mistake. He's such a sweet old man. He says to me, Maria, so what do you think of Ben Carson? I says, he's a woman-hating Uncle Tom piece of shit. That's what I think of him. You should have seen my doctor's face.
Tell him what you really think.
I know. You know how many times my friends say that to me? Maria, tell us what you really feel. First of all, I don't believe any man has the right to say anything about a woman's body any more than I have a right to tell a man what to do with his penis, okay? You wanna masturbate? Go ahead, but that's against the Bible. You know what I mean? Spilling your seed is against the Bible. But, you know, like I said, these... most religions are very male-oriented, and women are just chattel or possessions, you know. And now it looks like
I suggested in several contexts that before a woman has sex with a man, she needs to grant his consent that if there should be an unintended, unwanted pregnancy, that she has the right to determine what to do about it. And if he's not amenable, just say no.
Absolutely. You know, it's kind of funny because when my granddaughter brought one of her boyfriends over, this kid looked like Archie Andrews from the Archie comics. He was so white, right? And she wanted to bring him over for me to meet him. And, you know, he was trying to make his best impression on Grandma because I'm the matriarch of the family. And I just looked at him straight in the face and I said, are you using birth control? What are you going to do if she gets pregnant? How do you feel about abortion? I thought this kid was going to have a heart attack.
Oh, bet he was. How old are they?
20. He was like 18 when I said that to him. And I told him, you have to prove to me you deserve my granddaughter.
Yeah.
And this isn't just about love and playing around and playing house. I said, I need to know how you feel about this. And you know what? He did say, ultimately, it's her body, so it's her choice. I said, right answer. I said, right answer, you can have a piece of pie.
Too much.
So, you know, I mean, to me, that's just common sense. You know, nobody's going to mess around with my grandchildren without me having my final say because I said, you've got to prove to me you deserve her.
Was your granddaughter there when you had this conversation?
Oh, absolutely. She warns all her friends and all her boyfriends, my grandmother is very unique. That's what she calls me. When I come out with something off the wall, she'll go, Grandma, unique, unique.
She got that right, Maria.
But you know what? She's been trained by me since the minute she was born. She's got her shit together. She knows truth from fiction. And I am proud of the fact that two other little, you know, forces in the world to be contended with. But nobody's going to tell me, my daughter, or my granddaughters what we can and can't do with our own bodies because we're going to the mats over that one.
Well, I'm in your corner all the way.
I know.
I'm just shocked that so many men think they are entitled to make decisions for women. It's ridiculous.
But that's religion. You know, a woman's supposed to be subservient to her husband. Okay? You know, I don't know if they still do it in Japan where women used to have to walk, 20 feet behind their man? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, I'd be walking 20 feet behind. Not. So... you know, and in all religion, you know, the man only has to answer to Jesus, but the woman's got to answer to her husband. And you see these religious fanatics now, you know, if you, there's no such thing as raping your wife. Well, yes, there is, okay? But to them, your wife is the property of yours, so a woman can't claim that her husband raped her because he owns her. And this is what I'm hearing out of the mouths of the idiots running for president. What will they do to women in this country if any of these psychos get into office? Are we going to wear burkas?
Well, it's weird because they have so many extreme beliefs that are completely unjustifiable, even immoral, even grossly. So, I mean, I'm just shocked every time we have one of these debates.
I know. Well, look at Bobby Jindal. First of all, I love the portrait that he had done of himself as a white person, okay? Trying to pass himself off for white. I thought of that old Lana Turner movie, Imitation of Life. And because he wanted to cut Planned Parenthood in Louisiana, well, they've got an epidemic of STDs there. And I think syphilis, okay? Well, now all these people that have syphilis out of control in Louisiana, they have nowhere to go to get treatment because he's closed Planned Parenthood. So I said, well, when I post on that, I said, well, maybe he should take them to church and maybe the church will heal them.
That's right. They can pray.
Right. You know, you can pray, but people still want to see a doctor when they're having a heart attack. Okay. I don't think praying is the first thing anybody's thinking when their heart's seizing on them. But, you know, this is backfiring on these people. So here you have people against abortion, but obviously it looks like the whole state, especially New Orleans, loaded with syphilis and STDs. But they're not holy enough not to be screwing everything with a pulse and using protection for sex. So they're all riddled with syphilis. So
that's,
you know what, you
terrible.
Know, right, don't be holy if you're going to be a whore or whatever, man whore, whatever you want to call it. Look at Kim Davis, okay? You know, she doesn't want to get gay people married, but you know what? She'd be stoned to death according to her own Bible for being an adulteress.
She's been divorced 3 times and married 4.
Right. I mean, you know, look, I don't even have people to say, how did she get 4 men? How did she get 4 men to marry her in the first place?
How did she become holier than thou? I'm just stunned.
Right, but I said, you know what, it wouldn't hurt her to have some gay friends. They might improve her look, because she certainly can use a hairdresser and a new makeup artist.
Yeah.
Okay. Jim, we're going to take a short break. When we get back, I want to talk about the other most important story, mass extinction, 6 mass extinctions, Fukushima, Hawaii, the Pacific, and why is this pissing people off so much? So stay with us. And they're not getting pissed off for the right reason. They're getting pissed off at you and me, Jim, for exposing it and talking about it. So stay with us. Jim and I will be right back.
Spiritual Professor is a name some of Maria's students and clients refer to her as. After a consultation or class with Maria, some have gone as far as calling her the Force or the Oracle. Maria is simply a woman, a mother, and grandmother who was born with a keen natural intuition. She's got a lot of life experience and she's a constant student herself. This is what qualifies her to help those who are on their journey and need some direction. Some students visit her in person, others on the phone or on Skype. Maria will work with you on your own timeline, guiding you down your best possible path. You can learn to balance the mind, body, and spirit in what seems to be a world gone mad. As David Icke says about Maria, Maria's the real deal, extremely intuitive but with her feet firmly on the ground, out there, but down here, no bullshit. Whatever you need in this part of your journey is what Maria will help you with. She'll give you the tools you need to make the rest of your life the best of your life. See private consultations with Maria on the site at meria.net and pick the one that resonates with you. You are not alone. The professor is in at meria.net. Now back to the show.
Okay, welcome back to Roaring Truth with myself and Jim Fetzer. If you're not familiar with Jim's work, get over to Jim's blog. It's jimfetzer.blogspot. Jim, am I giving out your right thing? Is it just jimfetzer.blogspot.com?
Oh, it's the blog is jamesfetzer.blogspot.com.
Oh, okay.
And then I'm also at Veterans Truth Network, where I'm senior editor. But they want to track down the real deal archives with MBC, which they can find online, and False Flag Weekly News, which I do with Kevin Barrett on No Lies Radio.
Uh-huh. Before we get into talking about the sixth mass extinction, I think it's a big story. I've seen it in a couple of places. You posted it too, about the U.S. military shutting down the same aircraft reconnaissance systems that were shut down before 9/11 as part of a military training exercise. And from what I understand, it goes from Florida to Virginia. Now, what the hell is that about?
Well, it's completely insane. Why would you shut down a system that keeps aircraft from colliding with one another in the air? I mean, this is just loopy. That means there has to be something going on here, because it doesn't make any sense whatsoever. It's about as irrational as an action could be. So clearly they're setting the stage for something. This sort of thing took place before 9/11, so perhaps we're being set up for some kind of replication, bizarre as that sounds.
Well, when you look at what's going on in Syria, it doesn't look that bizarre at all, because there's a, we've been in a covert war there, and maybe they want to make it overt and blame it on some Syrian people the next time Israel hits us.
But you know what's fascinating there is that Putin has basically put a checkmate to the Western onslaught on Syria by sending these MiG-31 interceptor aircrafts and a Russian military contingent. And they're going to start attacking ISIS, which has, some 60 camps that the United States knows but isn't attacking, because we're supporting ISIS, which we also revealed when we asked Greece not to allow the Russians to use their airspace to equip their new base in Syria. But I think this has been a long time coming, and it's terribly important, Maria, and it's like Putin also sending, batteries of S-300 surface-to-air missile systems, which are among the best in the world except for the S-400, also made by the Russians.
Well, a lot of people are saying this is very similar to what went on globally right before World War II. So are they pushing for World War III? In coming out of Syria, especially with the global economic collapse, which usually leads to a world war also as a distraction. What's your opinion on that?
Well, it's fascinating how fast the dollar is falling. OPEC even invited Russia to join, which is a sure sign of major changes. Japan has abandoned the dollar for the purpose of trade transactions because they want to maintain their relations with Russia. They have so much trade with Russia that the sanctions we've imposed on Russia and trading with it have led them to abandon the dollar. This is absolutely stunning stuff, Maria. I mean, this is revolutionary. The dollar is going out. It's no longer going to be the reserve currency. And since Nixon took us off the gold standard, its whole value has been propped up by its role in the commercial transactions involving oil, which, of course, is why it's come to be known as the petrodollar. And those nations that early on went off the petrodollar, including Libya, Iraq, and Iran, have all been targeted for abuse by America, in some cases actual military, and others a potential for it, even though Iran has no nuclear weapons at all.
Exactly. Well, I guess Israel wants to expand Israel into Iran as well. Maybe they're not getting enough land out of the slaughter of the Palestinians. Maybe Israel wants the entire Middle East. But, since I was a young person, I've always seen Israel as the problem in the Middle East.
Yes. Well, you're absolutely right. And in fact, these more recent DNA studies have showed that the occupants of Israel don't descend from the tribe of Judea, but rather from the Khazar region of Ukraine, which means that the chosen people are not even genetically related to the promised land.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, you know, if people really dug through their Bible, they would find out that God promised Israel would never have their own land. But that's, you know, a story for another biblical day. You know, I'm trying to, like, shake all that nasty, all that 29 years of all that crap out of my head. But I will tell you, but they did give me really...
You're putting it to a constructive use, Maria.
Well, that's what I decided, you know. I said, all right, they did teach me how to be a great public speaker, how to do my homework, had, you know, great study skills, how to write my own sermons. Who's better qualified to do what I've been doing the last 15 years than me? You know, so I do owe them a little debt of gratitude, not for Saturday and Sunday mornings when I had to go door to door, knocking on people's door, because I really didn't care whether people lived or died then any more than I do now, especially when I had to go on an empty stomach. I wasn't a happy kid. But, you know, I always like take turning lemons into lemonades. Okay, sixth mass extinction. It's so clear Fukushima is killing the planet. You know, Chernobyl's acting up again since the fire's there. The plastic, 90% of all seabirds have plastic in their stomach. Oil spills, you name it. We're gonna open up the Arctic now. You know, Alaska, start drilling there. Why is it people seem to get so pissed off when you talk about the truth, the sixth mass extinction? We're in it.
And all the fracking, Maria, I mean, that's just a dreadful thing to do. It poisons wells and aquifers. It makes, you know, reasonably habitable land no longer habitable. I can't believe some of these atrocities have been permitted right here in the United States. It's as though the custodians, you know, the governmental agencies that are supposed to look out for the American people and their interests have completely abdicated their role and allowed corporations to render all the decisions.
Well, you know, if you wanted to, Jim, you can go back to the Bible on that story, too, because the Bible teaches that man has dominion over the animals and over the planet, and they believe that God can fix anything that they are destroying on the planet.
Well, that's where they run up against the laws of evolution and ecology, because, you know, the strongest argument you could make for God's role is that that of the deists, the founders of the Republic, who believe God created the world and then let it run its own course, where you could say God created the laws of physics, chemistry, biology, and so forth, which cannot be violated and cannot be changed and require no enforcement, and the world is just working its way. But I do not see that divine intervention is going to save us.
No, well, did you ever see that movie Devil's Advocate with Al Pacino, where he plays the devil? Al Pacino, Keanu Reeves.
I didn't see it, but tell me about it.
Well, put it on your list, okay?
Yeah.
Al Pacino plays this high-powered, rich corporate person, but he's actually the devil in disguise. Keanu Reeves plays his son, but doesn't know he's the son of the devil, and thinks he's living a clean, wonderful life till his father comes along and makes him a multi-million-dollar Wall Street banker or whatever. But at one point in that, Al Pacino gives such a great speech. You could probably just YouTube Al Pacino and the Devil's Advocate and see it, where he says, God, he says, what has God got to do with it? He says, God is an absentee landlord, he said. I'm the one that's been here listening to what the people want and giving the people what they want. It's a great speech, and I highly recommend it. It's a little bit on the scary side, like Rosemary's Baby at some point. But it's a fabulous movie, and I couldn't argue with it. I was like, wow, that's like the best truth speech I've seen in a long time, and it came out of the devil.
I'll have to track it down. The best I've been able to do by explaining Fukushima is that the Israelis did it to punish Japan for offering to share uranium, enriched uranium, with Iran for its peaceful development of nuclear energy.
Well, you know, you're the only one that has the guts to say that beside David Icke. I had David on the show right after that happened in Fukushima, and he said it was a mini nuke and also believed exactly what you just said. And I have to agree. Now you look at all these explosions. I think they had a fifth one in China today. There's no way those are just accidents.
No, I know. And the original in Tianjin, this port, which was left a crater the size of six city blocks, had to be a nuke. And it turns out that China's largest supercomputer was located there, which I believe it was designed to take out.
So you think the Stuxnet virus is alive and living?
Yes, but in that case, it would be the electromagnetic pulse that would fry all the electronic components in the supercomputer. But I agree with you. These hits on China are really an initiation of a war with China. And when the Chinese figure out who is responsible, and there are only two likely parties, namely the United States and Israel, China is going to do something about it.
Well, you know, we've been circling around China, and China's not stupid any more than Russia would be to see how we're trying to enclose them like we do Iran with all our bases. So I think, you know, to me it looks like World War III's on deck. I mean, what's left for them to destroy that hasn't been destroyed already? The economy is broke everywhere. We've made a world of refugees and world of slave laborers. And, you know, the rich, I don't know, maybe they think they're going to somehow survive.
There's something very strange about all these refugees heading for Europe, Maria, because it's expensive to travel. And it turns out new reports are showing that these refugees are being given 11,000 euros to pay to smugglers to get them there. And it appears the United States is providing the money. I wouldn't be surprised if it were Victoria Nuland, who's been doing all kinds of evil from her position in the State Department, including, of course, promoting the coup in Ukraine and trying to bring about war with Russia on that front.
Well, she and her husband make a lot of money off these wars. So I'm not surprised, but, you know, do these people really think they're going to be living on this planet all by themselves? What would they do without all their slave labor? I don't think most of them know how to wipe their own ass.
Maria, I made that point years and years ago. If you do all the depopulation, you know, not only who's going to perform the work, but who's going to buy the products? I mean, the great thing for American corporations was because we had a middle class that had enough money for discretionary spending to buy nice automobiles, stereos, TV sets, and the like. Now, all that is being wiped out. So I just don't see the future for these mega corporations.
I don't either. Look, I've been saying that for years, too. You know, first of all, I find it insulting that when our leaders talk about us, they speak about us as consumers. They never call us citizens. They call us consumers. But I said, if you keep taking away jobs and people aren't making any money, you can't consume, okay? You got to have money to consume. And I think they're seeing this all over the world, and China just woke up to that now that the party's over there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. You know, I mean, if the, you know, the little people don't revolt, then all is lost. But, you know, I have to say with some of these migrants, who would have ever believed, especially the way you and I were raised as kids, that the Germans were the Nazis, they were the worst people on earth. The German people are the ones welcoming these migrants in with open arms, with food, with clothes, with toys for their kids, you know. What has happened? Has America become Germany from the, you know, 40s? Are we now the new Germany?
Well, I think we are the new fascist empire, yes. So I think the answer actually is affirmative. And I wouldn't be surprised if all this migration was being promoted by the Zionists who, you know, place great emphasis on the purity of their own group. It's practically a sin for a Jew to marry a non-Jew. But they love it for other countries to be inundated with a mixture of races. So I really think, in all probability, it's a Zionist game plan that's being played out here.
Well, but we also, you know, I'm sure you know that a lot of those countries are suffering from a lack of population, especially Japan, where I think they have more seniors than they have anybody else. So, yeah. You know, they got to have some slave labor in there. So, you know, I'm also looking at that side of it. You know, these people are countries that, you know, running out of population. They've been bitching, you know, paying people to have babies and whatnot. So, you know, for them, this could be a big bonus. You know, hey, look, we got a whole new truckload of slaves that can do our work for us, and we don't have to worry about paying our citizens to have children.
Except Japan, of all places, is suffering the consequences of Fukushima. Well, I did an interview with a quite brilliant fellow by the name of Dennis Camino that you can find online entitled Fukushima, The End of Mankind, which I ended with a question mark to soften the blow. But Maria, I think the real threat is there. This does look like it's an extinction level event.
Absolutely. Listen, the day it happened, I said on my news show, this was before everybody tried to cover up and didn't know they weren't going to stop it, blah, blah, blah. I said, this is it. Japan is over. There's nothing they can do to save Japan. And knowing what I know about nuclear life, the life of these nuclear elements, and the fact that the world is a circle and what goes around comes around, that this will eventually kill us all. And it's still flowing like the first day. Nothing's been done to stop it because they don't know what to do.
Right. There was an interval there of a few weeks during which something might have been done. But you're absolutely correct that the half-life of these elements is so vast that this contamination is going to endure for centuries, long past the extinction of all life on Earth.
Well, you know, this week, one of the leaders in Japan told the people that lived in a town right near Fukushima that, and we're supposed to believe 4 years later, come on back, it's safe to live here now. And all I could think of was Christy Whitman on 9/11 telling people, come back to New York, the air is clean.
Right, when it was laden with asbestos, heavy metals, all kinds of parts from computers, it was a toxic mix, and she did say, completely wrongly, grossly, unethically, that the air was safe to breathe because they want to perpetuate the myth that it hadn't been a nuclear event in particular. They didn't want anyone to know. They made it illegal to use Geiger counters there. They did a massive air conditioning renovation because these particles from the air had been gathered in the air conditioners. They didn't want anyone to subject them to minute study because they would have found traces of all the elements, barium, strontium, lithium, lanthanum, tritium, uranium, that were byproducts of a nuclear event, and that is what they have sought to conceal ever since.
Absolutely. You know, when those first pictures came out of China after the first explosion, which sure looked nuclear, and they showed blocks away, buildings blown out, the cars covered with ash, all I could think of were all the pictures I saw in Judy Wood's book. And I said, this looks like the same deal. Looks like a nuclear blast. But to most people, and China, by the way, is punishing anybody to even spread a rumor that it was anything but a chemical plant accident.
Really?
So, you know, the suppression of speech is right out there. Even if you spread a rumor about their economy or whatnot, you're going to jail, and you know, China just kills you, okay? They don't even waste time, you know. You're just going to be swinging from a rope. That's the way they work there. But the similarities, I'm sure you saw the photographs and immediately took me back to her book because the photos in that book were amazing.
Yeah. She has a wonderful collection of evidence, photographs, diagrams, graphs. It's a marvelous repository of evidence.
Right. I mean, so many pictures. I was like, wow.
And even her notion of a directed energy weapon as she defines it, which is a weapon that provides much more energy than conventional and can be directed, satisfies the actual mechanism that appears to have been used, namely a very sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes, which provide more energy than conventional and can be directed, in this case, upward, to be set off in a sequence that was intended to simulate a collapse. But Maria, we know what a collapse looks like.
Right.
Watch one of those casinos or hotels in Las Vegas when they're brought down by a controlled demolition, or Building 7. They aren't blowing apart in every direction from the top down.
Right.
And when it's over, there's a pile of debris equal to 12% of the height of the original. In the case of the 47-story Building 7, it was 5.5 floors. But in the case of the Twin Towers, they were blowing apart in every direction. All the floors remained stationary. They were being converted into millions of cubic yards of very fine dust. And when it was over, there was nothing, no pile of debris at all, zero, zilch.
Right. Well, you know, that was the day of high government treason, no matter how you look at it. Jim, I can't believe this hour is already over. Well, let's hope we don't get another 9/11 surprise this month. And God only knows what you and I will talk about next month. But I'm sure it'll be just as hot as this show was today, Jim. Thanks so much.
My great pleasure, Maria. My great pleasure.
Take good care, Jim.
You too.
James Fetzer, check out his work at his blog at Veterans Today. I'm glad another veterans group has picked him up and realized that he's gifted enough to be their editor. And I will see you guys on Thursday with more news. So thanks again for supporting the show. If you want more truth on 9/11, there's tons of shows here. Everything Jim and I talked about, there's tons of shows here on site that will give you the education you need to say enough is enough. See you guys Thursday.
Thank you for listening and supporting The Maria Show. Tell others what you learned today. Knowledge becomes wisdom only when it's shared. Encourage others to subscribe today. www.maria.net. Often imitated, never duplicated. A world of information all in one place. www.maria.net. Always ahead of the curve. Always on your side. Get active or get radioactive. Subscribe today.